ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच श्रीशुक उवाच नाभागो नभवाग्भत्यं नभागो नभागापत्यं यं तत्तं भर्तार्कविम् यं तत्तं भर्तार्कविम् याविष्टं व्याभजं दायं याविष्टं व्याभजं दायं ब्रह्मचारीणाम् आगतम् ब्रह्मचारीणाम् आगतम् श्रीशुक उवाच नाभागो नभगापत्यं यं तत्तं भ्रातरकविं याविष्टं व्याभजं दायं ब्रह्मचारीणाम् आगतम् श्रीशुक उवाच नाभागो नभगापत्यं यं तत्तं भ्रातरकविं याविष्टं व्याभजं दायं ब्रह्मचारिणामागतम् श्रीशुकुवाच नभागो नभगापत्यं यं दत्तं भ्रातरकविं याविष्टं व्याभजं दायं ब्रह्मचारिणामागतम् श्रीशुकुवाच श्रीशुक उवाच नाभागो नभगापत्यं यं ततं बृहद्धार्तुं याभीष्टं व्याभजं दायं ब्रह्मचारिणमागतम् Ladies, Sri Shuka Vacha Nabhago Nabhagapatyam Shri Shukavacha Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Nabhaga Apatyam was the son of Maharaj Nabhaga, Yam unto whom Tatam the father, Bhartaraha, the elder brothers, Kavim, the learned, Yavistam, the youngest, Vyabhajam, divided, Dayam, the property, Brahmacharinam, having accepted the life of a brahmachari perpetually. Naistika, Agatam, returned. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, the son of Nabhaga, named Nabhaga, lived for a long time at the place of his spiritual master. Therefore, his brothers thought that he was not going to become a grihastha and would not return. Consequently, without providing a share for him, they divided the property of their father among themselves. When Nabhaga returned from the place of his spiritual master, they gave him their father as his share. Purport. There are two kinds of brahmacharis. One may return home, marry and become a householder, whereas the other, known as Brihadvrata, takes a vow to remain a brahmachari perpetually. The Brihadvrata brahmachari does not return from the place of the spiritual master. He stays there, and later he directly takes sannyas. Because Nabhaga did not return from the place of his spiritual master, his brothers thought that he had taken Brihadvrata Brahmacharya. Therefore, they did not preserve his share, and when he returned, they gave him their father as his share. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Maditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Ganim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramanam Namadavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So this starts a new chapter about how Maharaj Ambarish was offended by Durvasa Muni. It's a nice story. Ambarish Maharaj is one of the great devotees of the Lord, and Srila Prabhupada many times mentions him and his devotion. So here we see that Prabhupada's talking about two types of brahmacharis, right? The Vedic system that was going on was the male child in a family would be sent to the Gurukul. Gurukula, right? Kula means house, place, and Guru means the spiritual master. So the Gurukul mean was that the children were sent to the spiritual master, the boys, right? And there in the house of the spiritual master, They learned so many things, right? The spiritual master would see the nature of each and every child. Huh? Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyamaya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the guna, the quality, and the work, right? There's different varnas, right? So if someone had, the spiritual master would detect that if someone had the nature of a Brahmin, he would train him as a Brahmin. He would learn shlokas, recite mantras, and perform yajnas. Huh? And then if someone had the nature, a different nature, more passionate, then he would teach him the trade or the activities of a Kshatriya. We see that in the life of the Pandavas. Dronacharya, he was Brahmin, Acharya, he was the teacher, right? But even though he was a Brahmin, Dronacharya was Brahmin, he taught the Kshatriyas the art of warfare, the art of using weapons. He knew, right? And he trained up the Pandavas. He saw their qualities. He saw that Arjun had a propensity to be a good archer, right? Bow and arrow. So he trained him in archery. He saw that Bhima had great strength, right? So he was trained up in using the club, right? So like that, according to the guna and karma, the spiritual master would train the children. And therefore, society had some order. Society had order, had four different orders. It had priestly caste, it had a Kshatriya class, and those and others would be in the Vaishya class or Shudra class, right? Society needs to be divided in this way. It's naturally divided in this way. When Srila Prabhupada went to Russia, he met one university professor called Professor Katowski, right? Professor Katowski said that Swamiji, here in Russia, we have communism. And we have a classless society. So Srila Prabhupada said, no. Krishna has made the classes, Chatur Varnyam. And so therefore it's eternal, he told the professor. He told the professor, you don't have teachers in this country? He said, yes, we have teachers. You don't have military people and political people? He said, yes, we have military and political people. Right? So Prabhupada said, how is classless then? Because these classes were made by Krishna, therefore they're eternally existing. They have to be there. But they need to have proper training for the class. Right? And therefore, the brahmacharis and the students would go to the house of the spiritual master to learn. Right? So here it's described that two types of brahmacharis. One brahmachari would get trained up in the house of the spiritual master, and then go back home and get married. But if the nature of the brahmachari was such, then the spiritual master wouldn't send him home. Right? He'd keep training him. And eventually that brahmachari would take sannyas. He could see the nature. The spiritual master could see the nature. He could look at their astrological chart and see what their propensity was. And previously, all the spiritual masters were householders. It's not that sannyasis couldn't be spiritual masters. They could. But because they were sannyasis, they didn't have facility. They only have kamandala and danda, how they'll maintain brahmachari students, right? And then the spiritual master would teach deity worship. Where the sannyasi is going to get the deities? He's wandering place to place with one danda and one kamandalu. So traditionally, because they had the facility, all the spiritual masters were householders. And because that was how it worked traditionally, later on it was difficult for people to accept that sannyasis could also be gurus. They could be, they always could be, but they didn't have facility. But as things changed, right, they could also become gurus. And Kali Yuga, things are going to change even more. You know, traditionally, the sannyasis get some donation from the householders, but things will become so topsy-turvy, the sannyasis will be rich and they give donations to the householders. Aul ulta ho gaya. Time will come. Maybe even it's going on now, I don't know. So this is very important for society, that each of the persons become trained in one of these varnas. Right? But generally speaking, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone is born as a Shudra. Right? But by proper training, one can be elevated. Right? Today, our universities, our colleges, they can only train Shudras and lower than Shudras. Actually, they can only train people to become a good Kurta, a very good Kurta. PhD means very, very good Kurta. Really? When you get your IT degree from IIT, when they get the degree, what do? They go from company to company and they say, I have degree. Can you be my master? Please be my master. What does a dog do? A dog, there's two types of dogs, Srila Prabhupada said, roaming on Juhu Beach. He was on a morning walk and he said, you see, there's two kinds of dogs here. One dog is a street dog, no master, anat. And the other dog, he's not, he has a master. You know, you see them on Juhu Beach. He has a nice collar, right? And he has a chain on the collar. And some servant is walking the dog. That dog has a master, right? So Prabhupada used the example to show that the dogs that have a master are more fortunate. Right? They're taken care of. So Prabhupada explained that we don't make Krishna as our master. We want to become obedient to Krishna. And that way Krishna will take care. Right? But in another sense, the higher classes, they never had masters. Right? A Brahmin would be independent. He would open up a school, teach the children. The parents would send some, dakshin with the children. And the Brahmins would have plenty. Milk would come. Sabji would come. Grains would come. Every day. Right? They didn't have to go to a big bazaar. It would come. And they would cook. Nice feast. Feed all the students. But first they would offer everything to Shaligram Shila. A Brahmins, they always worship Shaligram. Vishnu. So whatever the students would bring, it would be offered to Lord Vishnu as prasadam and distributed. So at the end of the day, the Brahmins would have zero balance. Right? So that way they became very detached and very dependent on Krishna, that things would come. But they didn't work for anybody. Right? Working for somebody is the business of the kuta, dog. Right? So our universities and colleges, they're training how to become a good dog. They get the degree and go from company to company. Would you be my master? See my degree. Will you be my master? Right? Kshatriyas, their business was to protect, right? Protect the people, protect all the praja, right? The praja means anyone who's taken birth in the country. They become the praja, not just the human beings. All the living entities, right? Even the animals, they're also praja, and they're meant to be given protection. But nowadays, in Kali Yuga, the government can't even protect the people, what to speak of the animals. They send the animals to the slaughterhouse, right? And things are so poorly organized. The farmers are committing suicide. Right? No, it's not safe for any girl to go on the street. Every day we read in the paper, rape. India is becoming the rape capital of the world. Right? This is all due to the fact that the Kshatriyas aren't trained properly. Look at the example of Maharaj Parikshit. As soon as Maharaj Parikshit, he was roaming the countryside, right? Took his army, went out to see what was going on in his kingdom. That's an example of a good manager, right? Nowadays, the president and the prime minister, they sit in their office and they're afraid to go out because they might be assassinated. They might be killed. Right? But Maharaj Parikshit, he wasn't afraid. He went out to see what's going on. And that's a very important principle in management. You can't sit in one place. You have to go out and see for yourself. Sometimes Lord Ramchandra would disguise himself as an ordinary citizen and go out into the kingdom to see what was the, you know, what was the mood of the people, right? What was going on? So in this way, Maharaj Parikshit was touring, and there he saw a low-class man, a Shudra, dressed as a king, punishing a cow and a bull. So what did he do? He reported it to the police, who went to the court and went to the Supreme Court, and it took 20 years to decide what to do. No. Maharaj Parikshit immediately grabbed his sword and went to cut off the head of Kali. And Kali fell down on his knees and begged for forgiveness, surrendered. So this is proper, properly ruling. Things have to be properly set up so that there can be peace in society. Right? Otherwise, just taking a Shudra and making him a prime minister or a president, how it will benefit? How will the government work? Right? There'll be chaos. And we see in the world today there's chaos. Total chaos. So here we see that the brothers of Nabaga, they thought he went to the house of the spiritual master and he stayed there a long time. He's not coming back. Right? We have practical experience of that. You know, our brahmacharis in ISKCON, they don't go back to the village, and their brothers divide up the land, right? Because he became sannyasi. But actually, he's a brahmachari, right? As a brahmachari, he may not stay brahmachari his whole life. He might want to get married, right? So those brothers should consider, right? But they didn't consider. They divided up everything. Usko jana do. But he came back. And he said, where's my share? And they cunningly said, Nabaga was very simple, right? Your share is the father. So he accepted, simple boy, he accepted that. And then he went to the father. So should we continue reading this story? It's interesting. Nabaga inquired, my dear brothers, what have you given to me as my share of our father's property? His elder brothers answered, we have kept our father as your share. But when Nabaga went to his father and said, my dear father, my elder brothers have given you as my share of property, the father replied, my dear son, do not reply upon their cheating words. I'm not your property. Right? So the father could understand that his son was pretty simple. Right? Nabaga's father said, all the descendants of Angira, but his father also took compassion on his son and he gave him a idea. Nabaga's father said, all the descendants of Angira are now going to perform a great sacrifice, but although they are very intelligent, on every sixth day they will be bewildered in performing sacrifice and will make mistakes in their daily duties. Purport. Nabaga was very simple-hearted, Therefore, when he went to his father, the father, in compassion for his son, suggested that as a means of livelihood, Nabaga could go to the descendants of Angira and take advantage of their misgivings in performing yajna. Nabaga's father continued, "Go to those great souls and describe two Vedic hymns pertaining to Vaishvadeva. When the great sages have completed the sacrifice and are going to the heavenly planets, they will give you the remnants of the money they have received from the sacrifice. Therefore, go there immediately." Thus, Nabaga acted exactly according to the advice of his father, and the great sages of the Angira dynasty gave him all their wealth and then went to the heavenly planets. If anybody leaves this world, they can't take it with them. So they had accumulated so much wealth, right? And even though they were Brahmins, they had so much wealth. Wealth doesn't really supposed to come to the Brahmins, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Someone told me that Brahmins in Jagannath Puri, the Pandas in Jagannath Puri, in their house, they all have 5 kgs of gold. Right? 5 kgs. That's pretty. It's a lot of money. But anyway, they gave their wealth to Nabaga because in the heavenly planets, there's a different kind of wealth, a different kind of opulence, and they were going there. So they handed over him the wealth. Thereafter, while Nabaga was accepting the riches, a black-looking person from the north came to him and said, "All the wealth from this sacrificial arena belongs to me." So Nabaga is always in some kind of problem. He came back. His brothers divided up his money. His father gave him an idea. And just as he was getting the money, some black person says, "Hey, that's my money." Nabaga then said, "These riches belong to me. The great saintly persons have delivered them to me." When Nabaga said this, the black-looking person replied, "Let us go to your father and ask him to settle our disagreement." In accordance with this, Nabaga inquired from his father. The father of Nabaga said, "Whatever the great sages sacrificed in the arena of the Daksha Yajna, they offered to Lord Shiva as his share. Therefore, everything in the sacrificial arena certainly belongs to Lord Shiva." Actually, that black-looking person was disguised. He was Lord Shiva disguised. Thereupon, after offering obeisances to Lord Shiva, Nabaga said, "O worshipful Lord, everything in this arena of sacrifice is yours. This is the assertion of my father. Now with great respect, I bow my head before you, begging for your mercy." Lord Shiva said, "Whatever your father has said is the truth, and you're also speaking the truth. Therefore I, who know the Vedic mantras, shall explain transcendental knowledge to you." Lord Shiva said, "Now you take all the wealth remaining from the sacrifice, for I give it to you." After saying this, Lord Shiva, who's most ardent in the religious principles, disappeared from the place. Now in this connection, Srila Prabhupada tells a story about Lord Shiva. Right? Here we see Lord Shiva on the one hand, he's saying, "These are my riches." In the next moment, "Go ahead, take them." So, you know, we see Lord Shiva, he's meditating under the banyan tree. But he's at the same time, he's the husband of Durga, Parvati, right? And Durga is very opulent, right? Great opulence. But she was also living under the tree with Lord Shiva. I mean, he didn't even have a house. So Parvati suggested, I mean, she's Maya, the manifest personification of all the material energy. She said, I can make a house for us. He said, no, that's all right. I also, Lord Shiva also is all powerful. He can make a house. So I made a beautiful golden palace. And they called Durvasa and all his disciples for the opening. The Griha Pravesh. Right? They all came. And then they did the opening and they distributed prasadam. But Durvasa, he has quite a few followers. Many followers. And they ate, and they ate, and they ate. And still they were hungry. Right? So they asked Lord Shiva, what else you got? Right? He said, well, we've distributed everything. And Durvasa and his father said, but we're still hungry. And Lord Shiva said, okay, you take this house. And he left and went back under the tree. So we see Lord Shiva, he's very detached from material things. And later on, we'll also read how detached Maharaj Ambarish actually was also. Right? Great opulence for a devotee is not a problem for his devotional service. It's not a problem. Because he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. Right? Just look at the opulence of Srila Prabhupada. He had opulence. Great opulence. Right? 108 temples all over the world. Every one of his temples, he had his quarters. Right? Does any rich man have 108 houses around the world? Well, even if he had 108 houses, you know, look at how many servants Srila Prabhupada had. Thousands and thousands of servants. Right? I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. That Motilal Nehru, the father of Jawaharlal Nehru, he had one Videshi servant, right? One Englishman he kept as a servant. So the friends of Motilal Nehru used to tell him, why are you keeping this Videshi servant? With the salary you pay him, you can have 10 Indian servants. He said, no. The British kept us as their servants, kept Indians as their servants for 200 years. So I want to show that at least an Indian can have a British servant. Okay? Srila Prabhupada tells a story. And he said, but see, I have thousands of American and British servants. Okay? And I don't pay them anything. Srila Prabhupada ki da. So Srila Prabhupada had great opulence. Right? Great opulence. How many here have been to the Detroit Temple? Raise your hand. Okay, few devotees. Well, it's called the Fisher Mansion. It was owned by a very rich man. All right? He owned a motor car company. And he built a fabulously opulent house in Detroit. Detroit is the place of all the car manufacturers. Ford, General Motors. Right? So Ambarish Prabhu and one other Madhaji put the money together and they bought this opulent house. Right? And I was there when Srila Prabhupada went through the house, actually. So they were taking him from room to room and they had gold leafing on the and real gold in the walls and special marbles and very opulent. And Srila Prabhupada's eyes were very wide. He was looking like this, and they were telling him this and that. And this, they showed Prabhupada his room. And he said, "This is our most opulent temple, except for Vrindavan." Except for Vrindavan. Can just imagine the opulence of Srila Prabhupada. He came to America with 40 rupya, uske jeb mein. And in just a matter of a few years, 9-10 years, in that same city that he came to, in a very destitute condition, right? He was riding on the Rath cart on Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue is the most important street in New York City. And New York City is the most important city in the world, Prabhupada said. And Srila Prabhupada was riding victoriously on the Rath cart with Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And thousands of people were chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now for an ordinary person, that would be a great stumbling block on the spiritual path, right? Because they would become very proud. But for the devotee of the Lord, he sees each and everything as the arrangement of Krishna, right? Srila Prabhupada even said to the devotees, he said, "I know that you've all come from my spiritual master to help me," right? So here he is, he's giving credit to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? He went to America, he preached, right? He made the devotees. But yet, he's giving credit to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So no matter what their condition, they may have great opulence. Just like later on we'll read how Maharaj Ambarish was the emperor of the whole world. But it doesn't affect devotees. A devotee of the Lord, but it's a disqualification for the non-devotees because they become puffed up and absorbed in sense gratification, right? They become proud. Right? And because of pride, no one can make any advancement in devotional service as long as they're proud. So let's finish this part. If one hears and chants or remembers this narration in the morning and evening with great attention, he certainly becomes learned, experienced in understanding the Vedic hymns, and expert in self-realization. Hare Krishna. It's a nice benediction. We've heard this little story and can look forward to all these good things happening to us. Are there any questions? Comments? Anything that you heard in the lecture that you like to reflect on or you thought it was, you know, worth mentioning, you can mention that also.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
क्या बोल अगर किसी के भक्त में चाहे भक्त में या common people उसमें गुण क्षत्रिय का है तो ट्रेनिंग देने की आवश्यकता क्या है वो तो खुद करेगा उसका गुण है या तो कोई ब्राह्मण है वो अपना गुण के अनुसार काम करेगा, तो अपना गुण के अनुसार कर्म काम करेगा तो ट्रेनिंग देने की जरूरत क्या है इसमें, वो तो गुण है वो अपना करेगा ही। अगर किसी कारणवश लग गया, अगर क्षत्रिय है अशुद्र काम में लग गया तो फिर वो अधिक दिन तक नहीं रह सकता है, फिर अपना क्षत्रिय का काम वो करने लगेगा। इसमें थोड़ा सा समझाइए क्या है इसमें।
I couldn't hear so good, but what did he say?
If one is Kshatriya, he has quality itself Kshatriya, so he will act voluntary as Kshatriya. So what is need of give training to him?
What is that?
Need to, he has to go to undergo training, so what is need? He has Kshatriya quality, so he act to voluntary. So
no,
can you
explain? You may have the quality, but you need to learn so many things to develop that quality. You may have that, you know, gun, but practical experience you won't have. You have to learn it. Just like Arjuna, he had many weapons, but he had to learn that. Right? Amara gun क्षत्रिय हो सकते हैं, लेकिन क्षत्रिय युद्ध में क्या करने का, कैसे करने का वो सीखना पड़ेगा। और तो गुरु के पास जाना पड़ेगा, गुरु हमेशा होना चाहिए, बिना गुरु क्या चलते हैं, कुछ नहीं चलते हैं। अगर एक इंटेलिजेंट आदमी है वो डॉक्टर बन सकते हैं, इंटेलिजेंट, लेकिन ऑटोमेटिक डॉक्टर नहीं होते हैं। वो मेडिकल स्कूल के पास जाना और सब सीखना पड़ेगा, फिर इसके बाद क्वालिफाइड डॉक्टर हो सकते हैं। इस तरह से स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर बच्चे लोग को देख सकते हैं किसके पास क्या गुण है, लेकिन फिर भी ट्रेनिंग करना चाहिए। अगर ब्राह्मण के गुण है तो उसको सब मंत्रस को सीखना पड़ेगा, ऑटोमेटिक नहीं आते हैं, मतलब गुरु कृपा से आ सकते हैं। ओके, तो गुण और ट्रेनिंग, गुण और कर्म, कर्म मतलब एक्टिंग करने का, तो ये करने का के लिए गुरु का उद्देश्य जरूरी है। ओके, हरे कृष्ण। एनी अदर क्वेश्चंस, कमेंट्स, रिफ्लेक्शंस? पावन पुत्र, हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु। So, Prabhuji, regarding this point that a brahmachari, when he is in Gurukul, that he can come at any time, he may come back any time and then may need share. So, in this, regarding this point, in the practical context in our society, let's say somebody has joined the temple and then parents like sometimes do ask the question after few years that, you know, what about property? Should it be kept on your name or not? Like that they ask. So like one answer could be yes or another answer could be no. So when we say no, there can be two reasons. One is that a devotee can have full faith that okay, Krishna will take care. Or another reason could be that, you know, it's a social pressure, you know. What will other devotees think, you know, if I say yes, so better say no. So in this context, like what can be practically done? So what should a brahmacharya and ISKCON can do regarding the property of his fathers?
Well, like you said, depending upon his faith in Krishna would, and depending on Krishna for what his requirements, he should decide like that. If his faith is strong in Krishna, could say, Mother, father, don't worry. Divide the property. He has strong faith in Krishna. If his faith is not so strong in Krishna, he might say, well, wait a minute. I'll tell you later. Right? It just depends upon one's faith in Krishna. Right? And also it depends upon the amount of happiness the devotee is deriving from devotional service. If the devotee is perfectly happy in devotional service, there's no need for properties. Right? If he understands the philosophy, right? Properties never made anyone happy, right? But there's also, you know, the practical, like you said, a very practical side of it also, depending upon one's, you know, faith in Krishna. So I agree with you. It depends upon his faith in Krishna. Strong faith, no problem. If your faith is not so strong, maybe you need to have some backup. Backup. Depends. It's up to each individual, right? It's not like that you put on saffron and that's it. It doesn't always work like that. We saw. Practical experience. Any other questions? Reflections? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Chimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Itai Go Premanandi.